welcome you to our Good Friday evening service in 2025. Join our little country church as we gather in solemn reflection to behold the suffering of Christ through the prophetic servant songs of Isaiah and the gospel accounts of his passion. Through scripture, song, and short reflections, we follow the path of the man of sorrows, pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. And though this time on Friday is sorrowful, we rejoice knowing that it will be replaced with the joy that Sunday brings.
Thank you, Cynthia. Absolutely beautiful. Well, good evening, everyone. And welcome to our Good Friday service. Tonight we gather in solemn reverence to behold the suffering of our Savior. And this is not a night for celebration in the usual sense, for tonight we see what it costs to redeem us. But it is a night filled also with deep hope. For in Christ, the cross, we might see the weight of our sin. We would also see the wonder of God's love. We'll walk together through four prophetic servant songs from the book of Isaiah. These are known as the servant songs. And we will listen as they echo forward into the New Testament, specifically into the gospel accounts of Christ's suffering and death. And each pairing of scripture will be followed by a brief reflection to help us see these ancient prophetic words brought forward and find their fulfillment in Jesus. And throughout the evening, we'll also pause to sing, we'll pause to reflect. The mood will be quiet and contemplative. You are encouraged to sit in the weight of what you hear. There's no need to rush past the sorrow of these passages, because only when you see the cross clearly can we grasp the depth of grace that flows from it. So I invite you now to listen, to behold, to let the Word of God do its great work in your soul. For in the man of sorrows, bruised and rejected, we meet the servant who was crushed for our iniquities, and by his wounds we are healed. And let's pray. Father in heaven, we come before you in stillness tonight, remembering the darkest day in human history, as well as the most glorious. We confess it was for our sin that Christ was pierced. It was our grief he carried. Yet in love, he opened not his mouth, but walked the road to Golgotha for us. And as we hear the words of the prophets and the cries of the gospel, we ask that you would grant us ears to hear and hearts to believe. Help us to see not just the horror of the cross, but the beauty of the one who hung upon it. Let this night draw us nearer to Christ. Let it stir in us repentance, gratitude, and a longing for the day when faith shall be sight. Sanctify this time. Quiet our hearts. Lift our eyes. And as we behold your servant, let us worship your Son. In the name of Jesus Christ, our crucified and risen Lord, we pray. Amen.
You all please stand and join me and open your hymnals to hymn number 303, Stricken, Smitten, and Afflicted, hymn number 303.
Stricken, smitten, and afflicted, see him dying on the tree. 'Tis the Christ by man rejected. Yes, my soul, 'tis he, 'tis he. 'Tis the long expected prophet, David's son, yet David's Lord. By his son God now has spoken, 'tis the true and faithful word. Tell me he who hear him groaning, was there ever grief like his? Friends through fear his cause disowning, foes insulting his distress. Many hands were raised to wound him, none would interpose to save. But the deepest stroke that pierced him was the stroke that justice gave. Ye who think of sin but lightly, nor suppose the evil grave, here may view its nature rightly, here its guilt may estimate. Mark the sacrifice appointed, see who bears the awful load. 'Tis the Word, the Lord's anointed, Son of Man and Son of God. Here we have a firm foundation, here the refuge of the lost. Christ the rock of our salvation is the name of which we boast. Lamb of God for sinners wounded, sacrifice to cancel guilt. None shall ever be confounded who on him their hope have built.
You may be seated.
I'll be reading Isaiah 42, verses 1 through 9, beginning with 42. Behold my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry out or raise his voice, nor make his voice heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not extinguish. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not be disheartened or crushed until he has established justice in the earth, and the crosslands will wait expectantly for his law. Thus say God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and its offspring, who gave breath to the people on it, and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will also hold you by the hand and watch over you. And I will appoint you as a covenant to the people and as a light to the nations, to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the dungeon, and to those who dwell in darkness from the prison. I am the Lord, and that is my name. I will not give my glory to another, nor my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things have come to pass. Now I declare new things. Before they spring forth, I proclaim them to you. Now I'll be reading Matthew chapter 12, verses 15 through 21. But Jesus, aware of this, withdrew from there. Many followed him, and he healed them all, and he warned them not to tell who he was. This was to fulfill what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet. Behold, my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall proclaim justice to the Gentiles. He will not quarrel, nor cry out, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A battered reed he will not break off, and a smoldering wick he will not put out, until he leads justice to victory, and his name the Gentiles will hope.
Isaiah 42 opens with a breathtaking announcement from the Lord himself. Behold, my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. This is the first introduction to the figure known as the servant of the Lord. And from the outset, we are told this servant has been divinely appointed, divinely empowered, and divinely cherished. This servant is unlike the rulers of the earth. He does not clamor for attention. He does not crush the opposition. In the ancient world, kings imposed justice through domination and force. But this servant brings justice in a profoundly different way. Isaiah says, "A bruised reed he will not break, and a faintly burning wick he will not quench." This is not about the fragility of the servant. It is about his tenderness toward the fragile. The bruised reed is the broken, the weak, the spiritually crushed. The faintly burning wick is the one who can barely believe, barely hope. And the servant does not cast them aside. He does not snuff them out. Instead, he brings justice with mercy. The prophecy is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Matthew explicitly tells us that when Jesus healed the sick, withdrew from conflict, and silenced the crowds, he was fulfilling Isaiah 42. Jesus does not assert his rights. He lays them down. He does not raise his voice in the street, but speaks words of life in quiet places. He does not come to destroy the sinners, but to save them. And yet Isaiah says he will not grow faint or be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth. This is no passive gentleness. The servant will complete his mission. His meekness is not weakness. His mercy is not softness. He will persist until justice, the justice of God's kingdom, is firmly established. The cross is the unexpected meeting place of justice and mercy. There, the servant absorbs the judgment that justice demands, so that the bruised and broken may be healed. Christ is the only one who can judge without crushing and forgive without compromising holiness. So, as we reflect tonight on the suffering of Christ, let us begin by beholding him as Isaiah commands, "Behold my servant. Behold the one who does not discard the weak, who carries the weary, who brings mercy to the undeserving and justice to the nations. In him, the soul of the Father delights, and so should ours."
Please stand and open your hymnals to hymn number 184. 184, "Come Behold the Wondrous Mystery."
Now the light of life has come. Look to Christ who condescended, took on flesh to ransom us. Come behold the wondrous mystery, He the perfect Son of Man. In His living, in His suffering, never trace nor stain of sin. See the true and better Adam come to save the hell-bound man. Christ the great and sure fulfillment of the law, in Him we stand. Come behold the wondrous mystery, Christ the Lord upon the tree. In the stead of ruined sinners hangs the Lamb in victory. See the price of our redemption, see the Father's plan unfold, bringing many sons to glory, grace unmeasured, love untold. Come behold the wondrous mystery, slain by death the God of life. But no grave could e'er restrain Him, praise the Lord, He is alive. What a foretaste of deliverance, how unwavering our hope. Christ in power resurrected, as we will be when He comes.
You may be seated.
Isaiah 49, 1 through 7. Listen to me, O islands, and pay attention, you peoples from afar. The Lord called me from the womb. From the body of my mother he named me. He has made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand he has concealed me. He has also made me a select arrow. He has hidden me in his quiver. He said to me, "You are my servant, Israel, in whom I will show my glory." But I said, "I have toiled in vain. I've spent my strength for nothing in vanity. Yet surely the justice due to me is with the Lord, and my reward with my God." And now says the Lord, who has formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him so that Israel might be gathered to him. For I am honored in the sight of the Lord, and my God is my strength. He says, "It is too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel. I will also make you a light of the nations so that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth." Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and its Holy One, to the despised one, to the one abhorred by the nation, to the servant of rulers, kings will see and arise. Princes will also bow down because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you. John 18, 28 through 38. Then they led Jesus from Caiaphas into the praetorium, and it was early, and they themselves did not enter into the praetorium so that they would not be defiled and might eat the Passover. Therefore, Pilate went out to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They answered and said to him, "If this man were not an evildoer, we would not have delivered him to you." So Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and judge him according to your law." And the Jews said to him, "We are not permitted to put anyone to death." This is to fulfill the word of Jesus, which he spoke, signifying by what kind of death he was about to die. Therefore, Pilate entered again into the praetorium, summoned Jesus, and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Are you saying this on your own initiative, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate answered, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests delivered you to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm." Therefore, Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say correctly that I am a king. For this I have been born. For this I have come into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, "I find no guilt in him."
In the second servant song, Isaiah lifts our eyes beyond the borders of Israel. "Listen to me, O coastlands, and give attention, you peoples from afar. The servant of the Lord is called from the womb, prepared like a sharpened sword and commissioned not merely to restore Israel, but to bring salvation to the ends of the earth." This servant speaks in apparent discouragement. "I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and vanity." But the Lord answers with deep assurance, "It is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob. I will make you as a light for the nations." This is not a rejection of Israel, but the fulfillment of her vocation. Israel was always called to be a light to the nations, and the servant is the one in whom that calling finds its perfection. He is the true Israel, the faithful son who accomplishes what the nation could not do on its own. In John 18, we see the servant standing before Pilate, rejected by his own leaders and now handed over to the Gentile authorities. And yet, even in this rejection, he speaks of his kingship. "My kingdom is not of this world. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth." The world does not recognize his kingship. Pilate responds with cynicism, "What is truth?" But Christ reigns precisely through what appears to be weakness. His rejection by the world becomes the means of salvation for the world. His faithful obedience secures the promises of God for Jew and Gentile alike. This is the servant of the covenant, the one who brings light where there was darkness, not by setting Israel aside, but by fulfilling in himself all that Israel was meant to be. Through him, God's saving grace flows outward to the nations, just as he promised.
Please stand and open your hymnals to hymn number 265. Hymn 265, Lamb of God.
Your only Son, no sin to hide, but you have sent him from your side to walk upon this guilty sod and to become the Lamb of God. O Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God, I love the Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Your gift of love, they crucified. They laughed and scorned him as he died. The humble king they named a fraud and sacrificed the Lamb of God.
Isaiah 50, 4 through 11 says, "The Lord of God has given me the tongue of disciples, that I may know how to sustain the weary one with the word. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to listen as a disciple. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not disobedient, nor did I turn back. I gave my back to those who strike me, my cheek to those who pluck out the beard. I did not cover my face from humiliation and spitting. For the Lord God helps me. Therefore, I am not disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like flint, and I know that I will not be ashamed. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up to each other. Who has a case against me? Let him draw near to me. Behold, the Lord God helps me. Who is he who condemns me? Behold, they will all wear out like a garment. The moth will eat them. Who is among you that fears the Lord, that obeys the voice of his servant, that walks in the darkness and has no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. Behold, all you who kindle a fire, who encircle yourselves with firebrands, walk in the light of your fire, and among the brands you have set ablaze. This you will have from my hand. You will lie down in torment. Mark 15:16-20. The soldiers took him away into the place, that is, the praetorium, and they called together the whole Roman cohort. They dressed him up in purple, and after twisting a crown of thorns, they put it on him, and they began to acclaim him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" He kept beating his head with a reed and spitting on him, and kneeling and bowing before him. After they had mocked him, they took the purple robe off him and put his own garments on him, and they led him out to crucify him.
In the third servant song, the voice of the servant speaks more personally. We are invited not only to observe him, but to hear his own words, to listen in on his inner life. The Lord God has given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain with the word him who is weary. This is not merely a prophet speaking. This is a disciple of the Lord, trained daily by daily communion with his Father. This servant listens before he speaks. Morning by morning he awakens, my ear to hear as those who are taught. His obedience is not reluctant. It is formed by relationship, shaped by dependence, and this obedience leads him into suffering. I gave my back to those who strike and my cheeks to those who pull out the beard. I hid not my face from disgrace and spitting. Notice, the servant is not overcome by force. He offers himself. This is a willing submission, not weakness. This prophetic vision finds its painful fulfillment in Mark 15. Jesus is handed over to Roman soldiers. They strip him, clothe him in mockery, twist a crown of thorns, and beat him with reeds. They bow in jest before the King of Kings. The physical cruelty is horrifying, but the emotional and spiritual humiliation is just as deep. And yet Jesus endures it all without resistance, without complaint. Why? Because he is the obedient servant. He has set his face like flint. Isaiah says, I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. The servant can endure the shame of men because he is anchored in the approval of God. Though forsaken by the crowds, though betrayed and beaten, he knows his vindication lies not in present victory, but in future resurrection. This is crucial for us to understand. Jesus did not suffer as a helpless victim, nor as a tragic hero, but as a faithful son. His silence is not defeat, it is trust. He entrusts himself to the one who judges justly. And in this, he gives us a pattern. Not that we bear the sins of the world, but that we learn to trust in God when obedience is costly. That we, too, would listen to the voice of the Lord, rise each morning as those who are taught, and entrust ourselves to him, even in suffering. When the servant says, let him who walks in darkness and has no light trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God, he speaks to us. In the darkness of Gethsemane, in the darkness of the cross, he trusted, and through that darkness, light would dawn.
Please stand and open your hymnals to hymn number 302. Hymn number 302, Nothing But the Blood.
What can wash away my sin? Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not a good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow.
Seated.
Isaiah 52:13-53:12. Behold, my servant will prosper. He will be high and lifted up and greatly exalted. Just as many were astonished at you, my people, so his appearance was marred more than any man, and his form more than any of the sons of men. Thus he will sprinkle many nations. Kings will shut their mouths on account of him. For what had not been told them, they will see, and what they had not heard, they will understand. Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a tender shoot, like a root out of a parched ground. He has no stately form or majesty that he should seek to look upon him, nor appearance that we should be attracted to him. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And like one from whom men hide their face, he was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to slaughter, and like a sheep that is silent before his shearers, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and for his generation who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people, to whom the stroke was due. His grave was assigned with wicked men, yet he was with a rich man in his death, because he has done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. But the Lord was pleased to crush him, putting him to grief. If he would render himself as a guilt offering, he would see his offspring. He will prolong his days, and the good pleasure of the Lord will prosper in his hand. As a result of the anguish of his soul, he will see it and be satisfied. And by his knowledge, the righteous one, my servant, will justify the many, and as he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will allot him a portion with the great, and he will divide the booty with the strong, because he poured out himself to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he himself bore the sin of many and interceded for the transgressors. Luke 23:32-49. Two others also who were criminals were being led away to be put to death with him. When they came to the place called the Skull, they were crucified, and the criminals, one on the right, the other on the left. But Jesus was saying, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." And they cast lots, dividing up his garments among themselves. And people stood by looking on, and even the rulers were sneering at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if this is the Christ of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming to him, offering him sour wine, and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." Now there was also an inscription above him, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there was hurling abuse at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other answered and rebuked him, saying, "Do you even fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed are suffering justly, for we are receiving what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And he was saying, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly, I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise." And it was now the sixth hour, and darkness fell over the whole land until the ninth hour, because the sun was obscured and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And Jesus, crying out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Having said this, he breathed his last. Now when the centurion saw what had happened, he began praising God, saying, "Certainly, this man was innocent." And all the crowds who came together for this spectacle, when they observed what had happened, began to return, beating their breasts. And all his acquaintances and the women who accompanied him from Galilee were standing at a distance, seeing these things.
Isaiah's fourth and final servant song is the summit of the servant theology in Scripture. Here, the curtain is pulled back fully, revealing the mysterious design of God's salvation. What begins with exultation, "Behold, my servant shall act wisely, he shall be high and lifted up, and shall be exalted," quickly turns to horror. His appearance was so marred beyond human semblance. This servant, the exalted by God, is first degraded by man. The paradox is unmistakable. This is not a royal enthronement by worldly standards. It is exaltation through humiliation. Isaiah paints a portrait of a man who is despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And yet we are told again and again, he bore our griefs, he carried our sorrows, he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities.
This is the heart of substitution. This is not simply an inspiring martyrdom. It is the divine exchange. Our guilt placed on him, his righteousness given to us. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Luke brings this prophecy into living color. Jesus is crucified between two criminals, one who mocks and one who believes. Jesus speaks grace to the repentant thief and forgiveness to his executioners. Darkness falls. The temple curtain is torn in two. The righteous sufferer breathes his last and gives up his spirit. What the world sees as defeat, heaven declares as triumph. Isaiah says, it will be the will of the Lord to crush him, not because God delights in pain, but because he delights in redemption. This crushing is not cosmic cruelty. It is covenantal love. The servant becomes a guilt offering. He bears the sin of many and makes intercession for transgressors. And yet death is not the end. He shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. He shall divide the spoil with the strong. Resurrection is embedded in the song. The servant will live, and through his life, many will be justified. This is the gospel in seed form. Isaiah, centuries before Christ, gives us the shape of the cross and the shadow of the empty tomb. The servant suffers not only as our substitute, but as our Savior. He is both lamb and intercessor, both pierced and vindicated. As we stand at the foot of the cross tonight, let us not look away. Let us behold the servant in his sorrow and in his glory. For by his wounds we are healed.
Please stand and join me and open your hymnals to hymn number 281. Hymn number 281, Jesus Paid It All.
Crimson stain, he washed it white. Jesus died, my soul to save. My lips shall still repeat, Jesus paid it all.
As we continue with our hymn in closing, turn to hymn number 296. Hymn number 296, Hallelujah, What a Savior.
Sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came. Ruin sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Savior.
Before we depart this evening, let me say a final word to you. We have listened to the songs of the servant. We have watched as he was despised and rejected, pierced and crushed, silent in his suffering, steadfast in his love. We have followed him to the cross, where justice and mercy met, where wrath and grace embraced. But this is not the end of the story. Though we may leave reflectant and somber for what we have heard, we do not leave in despair. The tomb was sealed, but not forever. The sorrow of Friday will give way to the joy of Sunday. And when we return It will be to proclaim that the crucified servant is the risen King. So as you go this evening, let the weight of what you've heard rest on your hearts, but let it rest with hope. Let me pray. O Lord our God, we have seen again the depth of your love displayed in the suffering of your Son. We have heard the voice of the prophets and the cry of the cross. We have beheld the man of sorrows, bruised and broken for our transgressions. And now as we go, help us not to rush past the weight of these wounds. Let the memory of Christ's agony deepen our repentance. And let the vision of his mercy awaken our gratitude. We thank you that the story does not end here. That even in the darkness, you were at work. And that the one who was laid in the tomb will rise with healing in his wings. Keep us in your peace until we meet again in the joy of the resurrection. And may the cross ever be our hope, our boast, and our refuge. In the name of Jesus Christ, our crucified and risen Lord, we pray. Amen. Now, if you would stand and receive the benediction. May the God of all mercy, who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, fill you with the sorrow that leads to repentance, the peace that surpasses understanding, and the hope that endures through the night. Go in the shadow of the cross, and may you return in the light of the resurrection. Amen.